Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Can't I worship God anywhere? Verse number 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We are supposed to be stirring up one another for good works. How do you do that? Here's your answer. Go to church! That's the Steve paraphrase. Verse 25. How do you do this? Verse 25. By not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. What's another way of saying that? Go to church, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the rapture of the church. Back to 1 Kings. Can you guys see along with me that this is a powerful model? Well, Solomon loved the Lord. It says so right there. But where was he worshiping God at? At the golf course. I can worship anywhere. I don't need a church building, say many. And technically speaking, of course you can. We are free to worship anywhere. But God's word says, go to church, y'all. You can feel God's closeness anywhere. But like the Canaanites' high places, oh, careful. Because at the golf course and skiing at the lake, there are distractions and temptations. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship happens best here. Yeah, Steve, I know what you're saying, but I got to tell you, I get offended at church. People sit in my seat. If you say go to the fellowship hall, have a free donut, I go back to the donut. I get none, and some kid's got 12 on his plate. People say insensitive things, there's gossip in the church, and the answer is absolutely. Wherever real humans are, what are you going to have with real humans? You're going to have real human stuff. If we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but we are exhorting one another, considering one another, thinking of the other before myself, and stirring up love and good works, I want to tell you something, beloved of the Lord. Life happens in this church. Church isn't for us, amen? It's for Him. And when we come here, are we looking around to see, Lord, where can I be of assistance? Where can I be open when I see somebody's head down and I walk up to them and I say, can I pray for you, sister or brother? And when somebody is sitting in your seat and you're all, I had my Bible there and everything. Actually, you forgot your Bible. What you did is you put down a bulletin. That's all you had in your pocket. And they move the bulletin and they sit in my seat. Better yet, I give up my prime sweet seat so that a non-saved person or barely saved person can sit in it. In fact, I'm going to give up my chair altogether and I'm going to serve in Sunday school. Amen. Verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Oh, now you're doing it right. By all means, be a worshiper all over the planet and at work and on the way to work in your car. But there really is something about coming to the house of God and worshiping. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Good job. That's where the tabernacle was. That was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" The second thing here tonight is how to worship. Notice where God met and spoke to Solomon. In church. There is something powerful about literally positioning your physical body in this location here. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays. What about Tuesday nights at 6:30, the prayer time? Every noon to 1 o'clock, Monday through Thursday here in this building. Do you remember Samuel heard the Lord? Samuel. He bolted up. He trundles down the hall. Eli, high priest. Eli. What? You called? No, Samuel, little Samuel. Go back to bed. All right. Samuel. Let's up again. Trundles down the hall. Yes, Eli, you spoke. What? Did you call me? No, go back to bed. Okay. Samuel. Eli was a little thick. Yes? What now? Ding. Did you hear your name? Yes, I did. Where was Samuel physically laying? In or near the tabernacle of God? May God help us all haul our carcasses out of bed. Get to the prayer station at your house, or even if you can, get to a place right here, noon to 1 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, and just physically place your body in the house of God. I don't know if he'll say anything, but notice the model of Solomon. He went to Gibeon. He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. We don't work for God's favor, amen? We don't do that. However, look at the model form. Keep your Jesus glasses on. God spoke after the sacrifice of praise. What has God called me to give up? To sacrifice. Because I won't. Has it been a little quiet around the prayer closet? Go back to the last place you heard his voice, wherever that was. Remember what it was he said to you, and then ask yourself, have I done that or have I not done that? Do you see the model here with Solomon? Verse 6. And we're going to go a lot faster now. Watch this. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." By the way, is that thanksgiving or is that petition? What he's done here. Is he said, "Here's what I want, Lord. I want A, B, C." Or did the first thing he do was thank God for all the blessings in his life? What is it, the New Testament principle? In everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to the Lord. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind, Christ Jesus. Look what he did here. God shows up and he says, "Here I am. What would you like?" Great place for you to start saying, "Well, here's my grocery list, Lord." Look what Solomon's saying. First thing he does, "You are God, and I am not." Good way to start your prayer. And then even though you have a lot of stuff on your heart, petitions you'd love to share with the Lord, go through the blessings first and watch your heart go from "Hrumph" and "Get them, God." Versus, "Lord, Praise God for what you have done in my life. And thank you, Lord, for my spouse. I praise God you have given me a woman who will live with me, a man who will live with me. I'll tell you what, because it's too easy to say, did you see what he did to me? Did you hear what she said? Well, ask what you want. I'll tell you what I want. I want you to show her how she's blowing it. And he will answer, no doubt. But what if you went to him first and you say, praise God for my wife, Lord. Because when I was a big, fat, selfish jerk, she agreed to love me till death do us part. Interesting question. Thank you, Jesus, for her loving me. Question, am I that lovable, actually, now that I think about it? Oh, amen. 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 Verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Verse 9, therefore give your servant an understanding heart, please, so that I can get really rich. No. So that I can judge your people. Whose people, everybody? Solomon's people or God's people? Way to go, Solomon. Not yours. Your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Boy, I tell you what, that is a great prayer. Lord, I want you to do something to my spouse. Verses, Lord, give me an understanding heart to minister to this beautiful bride you have given me. To know between what is good and evil. That's what I need, Lord, for my spouse. For who is able to judge us, great people of yours? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 1:11. Another important component to having wisdom is knowing you need it. Right in your margin there, James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. You know what that means, without reproach? He doesn't come to you and say, seriously, you're asking me for wisdom on that? Dude, you should know better by now. He'll give liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. I just want to let you know something. You guys know how to start getting wise? God's Word. The more we are in God's Word reading and going through, I caught my daughter, she's supposed to be sleeping by now, and the blankets were up over her head, and there was the glow. We have an alarm clock, and it has a night light on it. It's past lights out. And I'm going to toss that blanket back and give her what for, boy. She was reading Proverbs. I said, Jaden, what are you doing? Reading the Bible. I said, well, great, what are you reading? She said, Proverbs. Mama said that if I read a proverb a day, there's 31 proverbs, and if I read a proverb a day, God will help me to be smarter, be wise about stuff. Said my 12-year-old daughter. Thank you, Mom. If you guys want real wisdom, hey, the more verses you are familiar with, when the time comes to it, and you need a direct answer to the Lord, and he taps that database, and out comes those verses, I tell you, that's wisdom. And there are times people are telling me stuff, and on the outside, I'm all, mm-hmm. Inside, I'm all, whoa! And there are times when, Pastor, what do I do? And the first thing I say is, you don't want to know what I think. But while they're talking, oftentimes I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I know there's a Bible verse that will apply. And invariably, in his gracious wisdom and his mercy, boop, a verse will come to my mind. And that is exactly the verse for the situation. The more Bible we have, you guys, the more God can use any verse at any time for the right application. Verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. And see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. I wrote my Bible, ooh, that lucky old Solomon. Man, I wish God would have said that to me. Bing, a verse drops into my head. I did. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and some of these things will be added to you. What does it really say? All. And also 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Why? Because his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Need some wisdom? There you go. You can get you some. Verse 15. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed he had had a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. So did it work? Did he get some wisdom? Check out verse 16. Now two women who were harlots or prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. And then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, this was not my son whom I had born. And the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son. The dead one is your son. Remember, they're harlots, meaning there are no husbands. There's no one to witness, if you will. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son. And the living one is my son. And thus they spoke before the king. Verse 23, and the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And then the king said, bring me a sword. Keep your Jesus glasses on. The sword is a model for what, everybody? God's word. And I wrote my Bible, oh, what a model for anyone asked any sort of advice. May we all say, bring me the sword first. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half the other. Many of you know this story because this wisdom is so astounding that it has made its way generation to generation to generation, 1,000 years before Jesus. That's why many of you know that story. Verse 26, then the mother whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion. You might want to circle that. And then she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. Check it out when you get a chance. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 7. That's where Paul says, I don't get you, Corinthian church, guys. When you have aught against your brother, you go down and hire lawyers and hash the whole thing out in front of the courts. Didn't Jesus say, by how you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples? And then Paul says, why not rather be wronged so that you're not swinging away and taking shots and verbal jabs at your opponent, and so that even the non-saved people are going, yeah, some kind of Christians they are. Do you see how that's in model form right here? But the other one said, Let him neither be mine nor yours. Go ahead and divide him. Oh, Harvest Family Fellowship, may we be people who love the body of Christ in the same compassion. When I've been wronged by a fellow believer, am I telling anybody who listened in the fellowship hall or by prayer request? I got a prayer request for you. Brother so-and-so, he done me wrong, and this is what he did. Or do we have the mind of the mother who cares for her son, had compassion, and says, no, no, I will not divide the body. I would rather suffer this egregious wrong. Do we love the body of Christ like that? Oh, protect the flock. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. So did God answer his prayer about wisdom? Yes. Verse 28, and all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, and they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Be it marriage, a family, or even the body of Christ, division leads to death. Why not rather let me suffer loss than divide God's body? I'm going to cut a little close to home. Are you ready? Same-sex marriage! Same-sex marriage! Same-sex marriage, cries the world. It's awesome. Love wins. Oh, that the church would consistently show them a godly marriage. Oh, that the church, husbands and wives within the church, members of the body within the church, oh, that the church would consistently show them what a godly marriage looks like. A husband loving his wife selflessly like Christ loves the church. A wife loving her husband and being his greatest advocate and support. Going the extra mile with supernatural grace and mercy and blessings, amazing and unequaled benefits. When you follow Christ and you do what he says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. That's what all the world really wants. Let's all stand together. Chapter 2, we got to get rid of Adonijah. I want to do the driving. We got to get rid of Abathar. Yeah, I'll serve God only when it's convenient to me. But in the meantime, I'll just look like a Christian. You got to get rid of Joab. No, no, I'm free in Christ. I get to do whatever I want, no matter what it costs anybody else. And we got to get rid of Shimei. Shimei who did not, would not come under godly authority. And then in chapter 3, if we want to reveal the kingdom of God in our lives, and boy, do we need to. I pray, Lord God, that we realize that there's something to going to church and worshiping with a sacrifice of praise. What will it cost me if I ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything between you and me? And what if he says, that thing? Would you give it up? Then the Bible says in that great model of Solomon, then I'm going to pour out great wisdom and all of the fruit of the Spirit. And then all of Israel, in our case, all of Washoe County, they may not like that we say that it's biblical, but when they see us in the fruit of the Spirit, they got nothing to argue against. Help us, Lord, be people of the book. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.